Our reading tonight is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, from verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his holy, infallible, unchangeable word. This is God's word, God's holy word. And the reading speaks of a divine appointment. A divine appointment that the Lord Jesus Christ had with this woman of Samaria. And I'm sure if we say we are saved, we've all had a divine appointment such as this. We've all been brought to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, I believe. But the question we truly need to ask ourselves, are we truly saved? Are we truly saved? We look at the parable of the sower, which is terrifying to me. It shows only 25% of people saved. And this is why I believe at times we need to look at something like this. Ian preaches the gospel every week, and it's wonderful what he says. But it's good to look at something different from somebody else at times. I believe that, and it's good to have other people up here preaching the word of God. And I'm up here tonight speaking of a divine appointment. It is a divine appointment that the Lord Jesus Christ knew about. He knew about this. We are told in verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." Give me to drink. It is a conversation that the Lord Jesus Christ has started with this woman. And there is a conversation that will be the most important conversation of this woman's life. She's now speaking to the Holy One of Israel. She's now speaking to the Holy Messiah. She's now speaking to God's only Son. She's now speaking to God incarnate. That's who she's speaking to. The only one that can truly bring us to salvation. And this is what we have before us here this evening in this passage. This woman came to draw water, didn't she? And Jesus started a conversation with her. Now, it was unusual for the Jews to speak to the Samaritans. They didn't like each other. They didn't like each other for three reasons. For three reasons. The Jews weren't supposed to speak to Samaritans. Number two, men weren't permitted to address women without husbands being present. Number three, rabbis had no business talking to ladies such as this one. Jesus broke all these rules, didn't he? Were these man-made rules? I think they were. Jesus came down to save sinners. All of us have sinned. He came down to save the worst of sinners. In verse 8 we are told, "For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat." It only takes one person to go and buy something from a store, doesn't it? Jesus sent them all. He sent them all because he wanted to be alone to speak to this woman. He wanted to be alone because Jesus himself knew how important this conversation was going to be for this woman. The price of life and death. And here I'm talking about eternity. In verse 9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." I've just gone through this, haven't I? Jews were not supposed to speak to Samaritans. But Jesus broke those rules. Jesus didn't like man-made rules. But he loved the commandments. He loved the law of God. And that's what he came down to follow. Verse 10. Is the central verse of the whole passage, I believe, here. Verse 10 is the central verse of the whole passage. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus here speaks of the gift, and that wonderful gift is himself. He alone is the gift of God. He alone is the gift of salvation. He alone is the only one that can bring us into heaven. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this what we believe? Because this is what God's truth says. Does the Bible show us that Jesus is God's gift? Of course it does. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There we're told who Jesus is. He's God's only Son, God's only begotten Son. If we look at Isaiah 9, we are told who the Lord Jesus Christ is here, aren't we? Isaiah 9 verse 6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, ever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have in Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for the light of the Gentiles. This speaks of a covenant, doesn't it? A covenant. New covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled everything. He is the new covenant. And finally, about the gift, we'll look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This is the gift of God. We are sanctified. We've been set apart by God. That is a gift. We're set apart from the world. We're holy unto the Lord. This is how we're to lead our lives, full of holiness, full of purity. But we know we fall short. We fall short here. But there is one we're looking at tonight. There's one we are looking at this evening who never fell short in anything. He never fell short because he was God. two natures entwined in one person, the nature of God and the nature of man. And yes, the full nature of God. Yes, the full nature of man. No, I can't understand that. I just can't. But that's God's. God's ways are higher than our ways. In verse 10 of our reading, we are also told, "Give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Living water. That's what it's all about. That's what everyone on this planet needs. This living water. We can look at John 6, verse 35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." We can look at Revelation 21, verse 6. "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Speaking of the water of life, that living water. Now, if we look at John 7, we'll see what this living water is. John chapter 7, verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." It is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. This is what this living water is. Is this living water within us tonight? Is he within us tonight, the Holy Spirit? Without this living water, we'll be thirsting forever. Forever we'll be thirsting. We need this living water more than ever. Going back to our reading. Verse 11. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" A lack of understanding. Does this not remind us of Nicodemus with his lack of understanding, the new birth? John chapter 3, verse 3. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? She had a lack of understanding, like Nicodemus had a lack of understanding there. Do we have a lack of understanding about these issues this evening? How often are we turning to the Word of God and learning of His love for you and I? How often are we doing this? No matter how often we're doing it, it's not enough. We need to be doing it more and more. Look what He's done for us. He paid the penalty for our sins. His blood cleanses us from all sins. If we know that, if we know that to be true, why aren't we seeking a closer relationship with Him? And I can say that to anybody, because we're never close enough to God. We're never close enough to Christ Jesus. And we should always be seeking for more of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit without measure. It's up and down like a yo-yo with me. In verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That is the Holy Spirit springing up. That gives us a joy, doesn't it? That must give us joy. Faith in God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ must give us joy. In verse 14, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I know I've read it twice. I understand I've read it twice. We need to look at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49 verse 10. There shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Springs of the Holy Spirit here. He's guiding us. He's guiding these people here. Isaiah is a prophet. And he's guiding the people if they would have listened. People who preach up here, such as Ian. He's our teacher. He's our preacher. Are we listening to him? Prophet means sent one. Ian is a sent one from God. To preach the word of God in this church, to teach us thy way, teach us the ways of God. Verse 15 says, The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's wanting this water so she doesn't have to go back to the well every day. She's still got that lack of understanding. There's still a lack of understanding here. But it's slowly beginning to click with her, I think. It's slowly beginning to click. But now we're coming to the nitty-gritty of it, aren't we? Jesus now is hitting her personality. He's touching upon her personality, something none of us like at times. When people condemn us, we don't like it. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. Call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. She told the truth, didn't she? She told the truth about this. But Jesus could see her heart. He knew the truth already. Like he knows the truth about each one of us. He knows all our secret sins. He knows all our open sins. And Jesus tells her now the truth of herself. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. She's confessing. She's confessing to Almighty God. That's what she's doing here. Confessing. Confession. Not confession to a man, pauper, a priest. She's confessing to Christ Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the only one we should confess to, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has paid the penalty for our sins and who accepts us when we confess to him in truth. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Well, she now knows she's talking to somebody who's not just a normal man. She now knows she's talking to somebody special, somebody who is really special, because he knows her heart. He knows her sins. He knows her sins. And he's willing to forgive. Christ Jesus is willing to forgive all those who come to the cross of Calvary. Get on your knees in repentance, full repentance. And then we should be worshipping God. Worship. And the next few verses talk of worship. How do we worship God? We come to church and worship God. We sing the hymns and choruses and we praise God that way. And that is wonderful to do. That is wonderful to do. But worship is also listening to the word of God being proclaimed. It's also listening to the word of God being proclaimed. But also, we shouldn't just be one day a week Christians. One day a week Christians. We should be 7 day a week Christians. We should be worshipping God in spirit and in truth every day of our lives. Not just one day a week. We come to church and we think God will be happy with us and then go back into the world for the next 6 days and lead the lives that we want to lead and not the one that God wants us to lead. How are we living our lives? Only God knows that. Are we coming to him in spirit and in truth? Are we truly worshipping him? Have we truly got salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Verse 20, we are told, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Anyone who will come unto him in repentance and in faith. That's what Mark 1:15 tells us. Anyone who comes to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith, he will accept. Have we truly done this in our lives tonight? Do we truly have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we truly been to the cross of Calvary? Do we truly understand what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ truly means? That it cleanseth not 50% of sin, not 75% of sin, but all sin. That's what the blood of Jesus does. It cleanses all sin. Have we been cleansed in that sin? From our sins. Have we been cleansed? Because if we've not, we've still got a work to do. No, we can't be saved by good works, can we? Good works get us nowhere. When the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, it changes us forever. Forever, we're changed. We'll never be the same again on this planet. And God is making us more like Christ each day of our lives. We'll never be fit for heaven because we're sinners. But because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, he has made us fit for heaven. And in verse 25 here we are told, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. He's done this with this woman, hasn't he? He's done this with this woman. And in verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The Lord Jesus Christ is acknowledging who he is to this woman. This was a work. This was an almighty work of salvation. And I say an almighty work of salvation because this is the longest recorded conversation we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It's the longest recorded conversation. My friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, how often do we converse with the Lord? How often do we come to him in worship, in spirit and in truth? Not just on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening when we're singing the hymns and choruses. We can worship him every day. And the Lord Jesus knows those who are his. And one thing that does frighten me as well, I'm not saying this about anybody here, but I do know of Christians who call themselves Christians, don't read the Bible, don't come to church, are not interested in any conversations about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they call themselves Christians. That is a joke. Christians believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been washed in his precious blood. Oh, come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Shall we just pray? Almighty God, Father in heaven, we thank thee, Father, for this wonderful, wonderful story. This truthful story. It's not It's not a fable. It is your truth, God's holy truth. Oh, Father in heaven, gracious God, we thank thee for the work of mercy, the work of grace that you place within people's hearts. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank thee. We thank thee that we can call thee Lord and Saviour, for you are our Saviour. You are the Lord of our lives. Oh, gracious God, we ask once again, Lord, that you'll truly, truly teach us thy way. In his precious name, we ask these things. Amen.